This program is brought to you by Bible Way Media, overseen by the elders of the Chipman Road Church of Christ in Lee's Summit, Missouri.
Hello, and welcome to the podcast, Spiritual Appetizers, small devotional tidbits to stimulate the spiritual appetite. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4 says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Join us now as we go to the live broadcast of Spiritual Appetizers Podcast.
Welcome, and thank you for joining us in another live episode of Spiritual Appetizers Podcast, episode 216, Sin Cannot Reign in Our Lives, Selfish Ambition. The spiritual appetizer we will be using in this episode is from Romans, the 6th chapter, verses 12 through 18. Church, we need to remember that as obedient disciples of Christ, we have been set free from sin. It can no longer reign in our lives. Selfish ambition. Turn with me now to Romans chapter 6, and let's read verses 12 through 18. Romans chapter 6, verses 12 through 18. "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin cannot have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourself slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness, as people that are trying to be pleasing to God. We can no longer be slaves to sin. We have to become slaves of righteousness. It doesn't matter what the sin is. It doesn't matter if it's a white lie. It's still a sin. It doesn't matter if it's murder. We have to be set free from sin. Paul was a murderer. Yet when he obeyed the gospel, he did his best to serve God and to be a slave of righteousness. And so today we're going to talk about one of the biggest problems within the church, and that is selfish ambition. We do a lot of things today based upon selfish ambition. We've allowed selfish ambition to become our slave driver, and it rules our hearts instead of God. And so we're going to look at some verses today to consider selfish ambition and how we can get away from having it rule over our lives. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 4, and let's read verse 17. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 17. "They zealously court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you, that they may be that you may be zealous for them." Read with me this one more time. "They zealously court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you, that you may be zealous for them." You see, this is how false teachers work. False teachers come into a place and they want to have you follow them. Don't go to the scriptures to see if what they're teaching is correct. Just listen to me. Oftentimes, listen to false teachers, people that want you to be zealous for them. And the reason why they want you to be zealous for them is because of selfish reasons. They want you to be a follower of them instead of a follower of what the word says. They zealously court you, but for no good. In this instance here in Galatians chapter 4, it was Judaizing teachers. Teachers that wanted people to still follow the law. But in reality, they didn't want you to follow the law because it was God's. They wanted you to follow the law because it gave them more control over you. They zealously courted them, but for no good. They didn't have their best interest at heart. A good teacher always has his students' best interest at heart. They're not doing it for selfish reasons or selfish ambition. They're teaching because they love people. Well, these people here in Galatians, that's not why they were teaching. they were teaching them to follow the law so that they could follow them. They wanted more control over their life. They zealously court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you, that you may be zealous for them. And so when you have teachers come in to teach you God's word, be sure that what they are asking of you is for your good. Be sure that they're asking you to be a follower of Christ. In Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17, and whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And so we have to give thanks to God the Father, but we have to go through Christ for everything that we do in our lives. And so if you're listening to someone, be sure you check what they're teaching with the word of God, because they very well could be just trying to get you to follow them for their own selfish reasons. And we have to be very careful of this in our life. Church, we need to remember that as obedient disciples of Christ, we have been set free from sin. It can no longer reign in our lives. Selfish ambition. Turn with me now to Galatians chapter 5, the very next chapter, and let's read verses 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are evident. Let me get this up on the screen for you. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revilries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those teachers that were teaching the law and wanting people to be circumcised, they were doing it for their own selfish reasons. They wanted the people to follow them. And so Paul clearly points out in the very next chapter, look, these people with selfish ambitions, this is a work of the flesh. It's not a fruit of the Spirit. It's not part of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You see, that's a singular fruit that we have to have every single piece of it in order to have. And when you add selfish ambition in there, you don't have the fruit of the Spirit. You have the works of the flesh. And so we've got to be very careful when we are looking for a church to attend, that we're not selfishly looking for a church that we like. When we're living in the world and we're deciding whether or not we want to serve God or we want what we want, we've got to be very careful that we don't add in selfish ambition to that. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 24, notice what it says about the Christian. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passion and desires. If you are truly a Christian, then you have crucified your flesh. You're not going to be a slave of flesh. You're not going to be a slave of sin. You're no longer out for just me, but you crucified your flesh so that Christ can live through you. Your passion and your desires, they're gone. And if that's the case, then you're not going to be selfish. You're not going to be at church for selfish reasons. You're not going to be doing anything for selfish reasons. Turn with me to another verse in Philippians chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 1 through 11. Philippians chapter 2. And let's look at verses 1 through 11. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy, be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. And so if we're going to be like Christ, if there's going to be any consolation, if there's going to be any comfort in Christ, we've got to do these things that Paul just said. To fulfill his joy, be like-minded, have the same love, be of one accord, be of one mind. In other words, don't be divided. And one of the biggest things divides us in the church today is selfish ambition. I want it my way. Instead of considering it God's way and looking at it God's way, I want it my way. That's what we do when we pick a church by, well, what does it have to give to me? Instead of going to a place that worships God appropriately and rightly, when God desires to be worshiped that way, John chapter 4 and verse 24, he wants to be worshiped in spirit and in truth. We say, okay, what do you have to offer me instead of what can I offer to the church? Notice verse 3, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You see, Jesus looked out for everyone else. He very rarely looked out only for his own interest. Matter of fact, I can think of no place in the scriptures where Jesus looked out for his own interest. The very fact that he left heaven to come here was giving up his own interest in order to come here to help us, who being in the form of God did not consider robbery be equal with God, verse 6, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became as obedient to the point of death, even the death of a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on the earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit. We've got to get that out of our vocabulary. Selfish ambition or conceit cannot even be in our vocabulary. We're to consider others better than ourselves. We're to look out for the good of others over our own good and place them as better than ourselves. Now, we do this when we understand what God wants us to know. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so we look out for the interest of others when we do exactly what Jesus did. In Luke 19 and verse 10, Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. When we consider the lost condition of someone's soul and we try to do something about it, that's not selfish ambition. That's looking at where they're headed, the path that they're on, and the destination of that path, and then saying, brother, I love you so much that I'm going to try to help you away from that. I'm going to teach you the truth. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. John chapter 17 and verse 17. And so that is not selfish ambition. Selfish ambition is to do something that benefits you, even at the expense of hurting someone else. And we've got to be very careful of that in our lives, because the Bible talks a lot about selfish ambition. The elders at Ephesus, they had selfish ambition here in Acts chapter 20. Let's read verses 26 through 30. Therefore, I testify to you this day that I'm innocent of the blood of all men. This is Paul speaking. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourself and to all the flock. Now, Paul has transitioned to talking to the elders at Ephesus. He said, I've taught you what you need to know. Now, you need to take heed to yourself and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And then what's really bad is the elders there are going to be selfish. They're going to have selfish ambition. They're not going to take Paul's advice to shepherd the flock and to do it properly, to love them the way that they're supposed to. But notice what it says in verse 30. Also from amongst yourselves, men will also rise up, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after themselves. They want to be elders, but they don't want to be elders for the right reasons. They want to be elders so that they can draw disciples away from the church to follow them. Not do what Jesus wants them to do, not to follow the chief shepherd, but to follow them. You see, that is selfish ambition. We should never become an elder of the Lord's church with that as our goal. That is something that is very, very evil. They spoke perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. And so elders out there, your job is to take care of the church, to oversee the church, to love the church because Jesus died for it, not to harm it because of your own selfish ambition. Church, we need to remember that as obedient disciples of Christ, we have been set free from sin. It can no longer reign in our lives. But yet, when we are elders in the Lord's church, but we're not elders to help people come to God, we want to pull them away from God, that is the utmost perversion of being an elder, drawing disciples to yourself instead of shepherding the church and protecting them from that. You become the savage wolf. You're caught up in sin. It's reigning over your life. You've got to get away from it. And that's something that we all need to consider. Why are we serving God? Are we serving God for what we can get out of it? Yes, it's the greatest life in the world, and it has the greatest benefits. But are we there for what we can get out of it, or are we there to serve the living God? Notice with me 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. Let as many bondservants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. And those who have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather serve them because those who are benefited are believers and beloved. Teach and exhort these things. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw yourselves. Those are people that have selfish ambitions. They think that godliness is a means of gain, and they cause division in the church. They often use idle words. They cause envy and strife and revilings, and their evil suspicions. Those are the types of people that have selfish ambition in their life. Notice what it says in verse 6. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed, and from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. We become selfish, we become greedy, and it's these types of men that we need to withdraw from. They have selfish ambition. They think that godliness is a means of gain. They're selfishly going after something. Instead of being a servant, instead of being a slave of righteousness, they want to be in control. That's what selfish ambition is. Church, we need to remember that as obedient disciples of Christ, we have been set free from sin. It can no longer reign in our lives, selfish ambition. So as we go about our lives today, let's take this little bit of food and apply it to our lives, digest it into our lives, and mold our lives around the Word of God. This has been Spiritual Appetizers, small devotional tidbits to stimulate the spiritual appetite. Thank you. So, as we go about our lives today, let's take this little bit of food and apply it to our lives, digest it into our lives, and mold our lives around the Word of God. This has been Spiritual Appetizers, small devotional tidbits to stimulate the spiritual appetite. Thank you.
We thank you for listening today. We hope you enjoyed this program. You can find out more about Byway Media by visiting our website, bywaymedia.org. You can find all of our podcasts on all major podcast platforms. As always, we thank you for listening.